Yeah.
crap. Welcome everyone to the second episode of One More Podcastle. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Mitch Carrero. I am the technical editor.
And I am Jason Lamb, and I write about PC games.
Excellent. And this week, Eric Hunter is absent because he just got married and he's on his honeymoon. So while we're happy for him, Andrew is going to fill in this week, and we are confident he will do a capable job.
So, misplaced trust.
Hey, we'll see about that. We'll see. But really, how are you guys? What games have you been playing?
I actually haven't had a whole lot of time to play this week. I've had a lot of computer issues, to be honest.
Oh, yeah? What kind of computer issues?
Basically, the SATA power connector on my solid-state drive sheared off.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, it was. Basically,
So how does that shear off? What were you doing?
I pulled it out of a hot swap bay.
Oh, okay.
The pins were intact, but there's a little plastic L bracket that protects the pins, and that sheared off. So I've sent it off. Hopefully be RMA'd.
That just sounds talented.
Yeah. On top of that, I ordered a new video card, and that arrived dead. So.
Oh,
that's terrible.
It's been a good week for hardware.
Okay, here is hoping you have better luck next week.
Hopefully I will.
We recently came into the ownership of a Sega Genesis.
Nice.
So we're going to be digging into that probably this weekend. We've got a pile of games. I probably should have brought some to actually mention which ones. But the last time I played a Genesis was back when I was in elementary school. So I think it's going to be pretty crazy experience.
Wow, that's gotta be fun for you. It's been a while then.
Yeah, definitely. I think it, one of the games at least we have is Aladdin, and
nice.
Everybody loves Aladdin.
Oh, it's, yeah,
Aladdin,
among the best 16-bit licensed games ever.
It seemed like there was a lot of like really good licensed games back then, or maybe that's just rose-colored glasses.
My theory is just that there were so many that enough developers that were good enough at doing them did put some good products out there, because there were definitely some terrible ones too.
Can we think of any like modern games that were, I guess this is kind of like a tangent, but really like any kind of licensed modern game that has really broken as much ground as, like, for example, something like GoldenEye?
No way. Because like, they've tried doing ambitious things with franchises such as Spider-Man and Transformers, but I don't think in terms of redefining an entire genre on console gaming like GoldenEye did, I don't think modern gaming has come close to equating that.
Yeah, there really hasn't.
I mean, my only thought is if you count professional sports as a license, like the Madden NFL games, they're a big deal. And they're doing their own thing, but that's not what I consider a media license, you know?
Yeah, and even if it was, there hasn't been really a groundbreaking feature that's kind of set apart a single Madden game from any others. It's just kind of been a slow build.
True. They've been doing that for, 20 years now. That's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Madden.
Do you think when John Madden dies, they'll pick a new guy, or are they just going to keep going?
Maybe it'll be like a Left 4 Dead crossover, and it'll be like Zombie Madden.
touchdown.
I continue this joke, but I have no idea what football terms are.
We'll just do an all zombie podcast one week, just groan into the microphone over and over. Maybe not. I don't think that'd be very exciting. So I've been playing some old games lately.
What have you been playing?
Well, I've been wanting to make more Let's Play videos on my NintendoLegend.com YouTube channel. And I think the next one that's going to go up is ice hockey. And you guys might dig it. For listeners who don't know, I'm outnumbered tonight, Canadians to USA Americans, 2-1. And in the Let's Play video, I play the Canadians and get soundly defeated. You guys seem to be pretty good at hockey, so lesson learned.
That's how we operate, I guess.
It's pretty much what we do sports-wise.
Yeah, I mean, is that stereotypical, or is it totally cool to say, yeah, Canadians kicked my butt at hockey?
No, it's pretty accurate. Like, we have one NBA team and one Major League Baseball team, but we have a ton of hockey teams.
That's true. Actually, yeah, that's an excellent empirical argument there, Jason.
Oh.
Huh.
I think I'm a bad Canadian because it's literally the first time I've ever clued in that we only have one baseball and one basketball team.
We used to have multiple. And then they realized that those sports weren't popular in Canada.
Wah, wah. Man, we are. I like these tangents tonight. This is good. Zombies, Canadians. This is good.
One and the same.
Yeah. Wait. What?
I like how you immediately agreed.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. That can't be a good sign. Speaking of good signs, you guys ready for our discussion question tonight?
I'm ready.
I am.
All right. Here we go. What is the coolest item from a retro game that is not a vehicle or a weapon?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. At first, I thought of the Triforce from the Legend of Zelda series. That seems like a really powerful, all-encompassing item. But then I realized it seems kind of odd to me because the Triforce is composed of power, wisdom, and courage. And I'm thinking, if you have power, would you not have courage? And what good does courage do you if you don't have the power or wisdom? It just seems kind of lopsided, and I wasn't comfortable with that choice. So I'm torn between two, and I'm going to try and summarize them quickly. In Jet Force Gemini for Nintendo 64, are either of you familiar with that game?
Yes.
Sadly, yeah. No.
Well, it's amazing. You can play it third person or first person. You can toggle back and forth, and it's a shooter. It's actually kind of like Halo before Halo. It's a science fiction setting. It's fast-paced action. You're fighting these giant bug enemies. And there's lots of weapons. There's homing missiles, tri-rocket launchers, machine gun, etc. Cool. But there is also fish food. And this fish food you can toss out. You can literally feed fish if you find them in the water. Or you can actually use it to set off like motion detectors and mines and stuff like that. So that's pretty nifty.
Does the fish food do anything like bind some fish to you so you can like summon them later in a
Aquaman style?
Yeah, like Aquaman.
Nothing quite that useful. No, it's purely an Easter egg kind of thing you get to find once secretly and then carry with you throughout. The fish eat it, it goes away. You have to get creative. I don't remember if the AI is sophisticated enough, like if you throw it down a hallway, if it'll distract a guard or something. Maybe I'll have to go back and find out.
We could save that for our Mythbusters episode.
Ooh. I like that idea. But then I realized there's a truly revolutionary item. In Super Mario Brothers, the mushroom. Total game breaker. So you're this Mario guy, right? But when you get this mushroom, you double in size.
Whoa,
you can actually, yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane.
It doubles your hit points, so you can actually take a hit before you die, which is unprecedented for 2D platforming. And you can demolish parts of the environment around you. There are parts of the game where you can literally just break every block into the surrounding environment with your head or your fist. Or I can't tell in the animation, but you can destroy the level around you. It is so cool.
I like it.
That's a pretty solid choice.
Yeah, the mushroom.
What did you pick, Andrew?
Well, I picked... it actually comes from one of possibly my favorite game of all time. I chose, in general, the masks from Majora's Mask. I was thinking about like the best item. I thought that the mask system was really interesting, just because, not like aside from like the transformation masks, which were understandably really, really interesting and really cool way of changing up how you played the game. I thought some of the other masks, like for example, the bunny hood, were just really fun to have. Like, mm-hmm. If you were running across Hyrule Field, yeah, you can get Epona, but you could also put on bunny ears and just run.
I used it all the time. Love the bunny hood.
Did the bunny hood allow you to hop or just run really fast?
Just run. You just ran like the
twice as fast as normal.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think my choice would be either the bunny hood or Camaro's mask. So I'm not sure if you guys remember this one, but Camaro's mask was this odd little mask you picked up from, spoilers for the 10 plus year old game.
I haven't played it.
Oh, okay. Too bad. It's the one you get from, this guy named Camaro, if I remember correctly. And he's this, dancing instructor who was killed, I think, by Skull Kid. And he teaches you this dance, and it's the weirdest dance ever. But it's funny because when you put on this mask, a molded version of it's essentially like a bust of himself that you place on your face, and then you just start doing this great dance. You can teach it to these two people. But the great thing is just going into random places in the town and just starting dancing and imagining the looks that you would get just if you saw this kid with this weird bust on his face dancing and this music for no reason.
Yeah, because the music changes too, and it's even like this got this kind of an Indian sitar, like kind of a creepy feel to it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Jason, how about you?
Well, seeing as they both chose Zelda items, I actually, my first choice was going to be the Ocarina from the Zelda series.
Can't go wrong there.
I thought it was a little too obvious. So I think I actually eventually decided on the Pokeball.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Not because you could probably trap Pokemon in it, but there's a good chance you could store anything in it.
That is true.
Would you explain carrying a bicycle around in your backpack?
That's true. Like, could you throw it at, say, a couch and it would just kind of magically transport inside?
Probably. Imagine how easy moving would be.
It'd make it so much easier.
I would love to have a Pokeball. This sounds great.
Can you imagine, like, if certain real-life items were more difficult to catch? Like, oh, that big-screen television, you're going to need an Ultra Ball for that one.
you have to put the TV to sleep first.
Give it a status problem. That's fantastic. Television was poisoned.
They've got 26 different Pokeball variants now.
Six. Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand.
That's about 24 more than I would ever need.
Okay, here's another tangent. We can cut this out if we don't really want to keep it in. But I always found it really weird how, as you go on in a series, it just keeps on layering these systems on systems on systems on systems. Like a current example would be like Pokemon. Another example would be like the Assassin's Creed series where...
Oh, don't...
Now they're kind of like rebooting it, but like before it was just like when it got to the third iteration of the second game, it was just like so many systems that someone new to it would just have like no idea where to start. And it's just kind of interesting with retro games that you don't really get that much of a buildup.
I think that's a valid criteria for one reason that retro games are nice is because you get to witness the birth of some of these franchises back when it was arguably more basic and easier to get into. Because with Pokemon, they started adding like different types and all sorts of different things to do with other players. And pretty soon you weren't just battling, but you were entering contests. And then you had to worry about berries and recipes and calling other trainers and crazy stuff.
Yeah, a lot of series have gotten extremely complicated as they've evolved. As Andrew mentioned, the Assassin's Creed series, I found as they've kind of layered on all these systems, it's gone to the point where it's actually gotten easier if you know what you're doing, because these systems so overpower your character to a point. Like in the first Assassin's Creed, you're like, okay, I've got a sword, and I think the end of the last one, you end up having crossbows and like a hand-mounted pistol. And
did you just use the phrase, though, it's easier when you know what you're doing?
When you know what you're doing. Well, it's still complicated if you're just going into it and they're like, here's 40 weapons systems. We're not going to explain any of them.
That does sound complicated.
Yeah. But once you get the hang of it, it's just like, I can't die. I just hold down this counter button.
There you go. All right, guys, sounds good. We're going to take a quick musical interlude break, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Magic and science are one and the same.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed the track. That was Magic and Science by Neo Jake Productions.
Retro Throwdown!
This is the part of our show where each of us three co-hosts has chosen a different classic video game. And we have not told each other what we have chosen, and we're each going to have 2 minutes to present our game and why it's the best game coming to the table tonight. And you, dear listeners, will get to vote for your favorite pick on the website. So, start the clock, Jason. Let me know when you're ready for me to introduce my game.
The clock is ready.
All right. Tonight, I am bringing World Games. This is another Nintendo Entertainment System game published in 1989 by Milton Bradley. Rare actually did some development work on this, and it's a very multicultural game. You can be an athlete from the USA, from Canada, from the Soviet Union, Japan, Great Britain, or France. And it's one of those multi-event Olympics styles games. And there are 8 events. Those are weightlifting, barrel jumping, cliff diving, slalom skiing, log rolling, bull riding, the caber toss, and sumo wrestling. You probably notice that's a wide variety of games. I mean, if you play something like track and field, it's a classic, but it's mostly a button masher. Whereas I feel like World Games actually demands more skill, because there's a couple games I'm still really bad at, but there's other ones I'm really confident in. So it's a lot of fun, especially playing against a second player or trying to beat all the computer high scores per event, or world records, I should say. But perhaps the best part is the variety of ways you can fault out or even outright die in some of the events. For instance, in weightlifting, if you hold the weights above your head too long, you fall through the floor in a big comical hole. It's wonderful. In barrel jumping, you can fall on a barrel and break it, or you can just break through the ice or trip over the barrels and fall on your face. Same thing goes for cliff diving.
15 almost... seconds.
Well, long story short, it's a game with a lot of variety, replay value, and competitiveness, fun alone or with a friend.
All right. Whenever you're ready, Andrew.
My game that I'm bringing today is Mischief Makers for the Nintendo 64. If, you follow the our YouTube channel, which you should. We had a video review for it by Ness Dude, aka Christopher Kunkka, a while ago. Basically, it was a game that I really liked to rent when I was younger, just because it was, first of all, it was a fun game. It's a side scroller kind of puzzle adventure where you go and you grab these objects and like shake them around. But now I kind of appreciate it just because of how disturbing it is when you kind of look deeper into it. It's got this weird happy pop anime exterior, but the entire game takes place on the planet Clancer, which first of all is dangerously close to cancer. It has the most ridiculous storyline in which you are a robot and your creator is kidnapped by an empire. And the main way you interact with everything in the world is that you just grab it and you shake the bejeebus out of it. It is absolutely amazing. Not only that, but every single thing that you shake the bejeebus out of, they all have this horrible, sad, tortured face. Imagine like a Shy Guy mask, but it was melted a little further. With this game, when you're going, you're shaking all these different things.
15 seconds.
Your robot character gives out a cheerful shake, shake, shake. And it's the most ridiculous dichotomy I've ever experienced. The end. You should get it.
All right. I guess I'll start my game. Let me start the timer. The game I chose this week was Keith Courage in Alpha Zones. It was originally released in 1988 and then originally in Japan, then released August 29th, 1989 in North America for the TurboGrafx-16. The game basically functioned as, it was the pack-in game for the TurboGrafx-16. So if you bought the TurboGrafx-16, you would receive this game. Basically, you're guiding your hero through 7 unique worlds, which are split up into 2 levels each. There's an overworld and an underworld. In the overworld, your hero Keith is, it acts as a basic platformer where you're collecting coins, spending those to obtain bolt bombs, health regeneration, better equipment, to eventually face off in the underworld. In the underworld, once you travel there, you're put into a mechanized suit, and you have a laser sword, and basically you go around fighting demons, these kind of weird guys who are half gun, half human, until they make it to the end. It's extremely difficult, but fun. It's one of the definitive TurboGrafx-16 titles. It looks really good, and the music was really catchy. It was pretty much the best TurboGrafx-16 game ever.
That was a good pitch, damn it.
I don't know, ever. I fell asleep halfway through it. I'm just saying. What? I mean, you guys ready to defend your picks? Because I think I'm the clear winner here.
Eric, I am taking serious issue with your game, actually. During your pitch, I decided to do a little bit of research, looking up this was World Games.
Oh, and good for you.
There are several screenshots of two men on a log rolling.
Watching a video of that right now.
Yep, that would be from the log rolling event.
Yes. They both have large beards and super racist against Canadians. There. I said it.
What?
What a racist game.
You just sound like you have a problem with beards. I think beards epitomize the most epic parts of masculinity. I mean, who doesn't like a good beard?
I know I do.
Jason has my back on this.
Oh, no. I'm not.
No. I have your back on beards.
Yeah,
I have a beard.
I'm not contesting the quality or the value of a good beard. I'm just saying that those guys are straight up French Canadians, and the stereotype of French Canadians is that they just roll logs all day.
It sounds to me like you're making the stereotype and not the game.
I think you should ask at Synganoi, and he'd be able to tell you.
Well, maybe I will ask him. But how do you know that they're not, say, Saskatchewan log rollers? Or even from the bayou in Louisiana, here in the States?
I don't think they have water in Saskatchewan. And I don't think that...
That doesn't stop like that the Chinese log rollers, Andrew. It's no excuse.
I don't know enough about Chinese geography to contest that.
Well, okay. The funny part is, though, I almost picked Mischief Makers tonight. And so I'm kind of kicking myself because that would have been amazing to shut you out right away. But even then, what I take issue with, Andrew, is you were describing this game. You said it was, in hindsight, you appreciate it now for how disturbing it is. And these faces of agony that the enemies have to endure as you're strangling and shaking them to death. It sounds like you just like it because you're kind of sadistic. That's awful.
I'm not saying I'm not. I don't know what you know rows their boat. I don't know what rules their log. It's something, of course, that you would understand, Eric. Mm-hmm. I don't know what works for them. Maybe they like being shaken. I don't know.
But you said you liked that it was disturbing.
Well, I liked it just because it's so weird and unexpected. Jason, you brought a game and it sucks.
Yeah, we barely need to talk about his. I fell asleep halfway through. What did he talk about?
Something, TurboGrafx.
Oh, who cares about the TurboGrafx?
Oh my god, Eric, you're going to get so much hate mail.
I know. That's just bait. I want to hear people talk about it more.
Email to eric@onemorecastle.com.
Yeah, tell me how much you love the TurboGrafx. 16.
Yeah, anyhow, Jason, it's not a real system, so I guess you can't really have a game from it, sorry.
And what was the title of your game, Jason?
You know what? I think Jason, his game was just so boring, it killed him.
Holy crap. We totally shut him. I think he fell asleep at his own game.
Man, this is concerning. Oh, God. Huh.
I mean, the title alone is long enough to put anyone in a coma.
Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Oh, man, I was talking that entire time.
Okay.
Oh, you were.
Are you sure you didn't just go and grab a sandwich or something?
I may or may not have muted my microphone at a certain point. All right. I'm here to defend myself.
Oh, good. It's about time.
All right. World Games looks like every crappy minigame collection that has plagued every single Nintendo system since the dawn of time.
It's not.
It looks like it.
That's a solid defense, Eric.
Thank you.
No, it's Mischief not Makers? Like... Oh, looks like a poor man's ripoff of Goemon's Great Adventure.
Well, I think that just speaks to the anime stylings. I mean, by no means am I voting for Andrew's game, but it's pretty cool looking.
No, however, Eric, let's not kid ourselves. You're definitely voting for Andrew's game because you were about to choose Andrew's game, which you revealed earlier.
No. I'm not going back on my own pick. And you know why? You pointed out that the game takes place on planet Cancer. I mean, you said it was disturbing. You're talking about cancer. Maybe that appeals to a sadistic guy like you, but not to me.
It's planet Clancer. And it's just funny because did they not have anyone to translate this to English properly? Like, didn't they have like at least one guy in the business being like, hey guys, you know what this sounds a lot like? Maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe this is a bad idea. Oh, 90s translation.
That's why I can't vote for it now. Because
at least the name's original, unlike World Games.
Hey, you mean descriptive. Because I consider it a step up from something like
California. Oh, it's by Milton Bradley?
Well, it's not by them. They just published it. They didn't make it. They just slapped their name on it. Jason, you don't like Milton Bradley games? They've made some fine games over the years, Jason.
Jason, you need to tell me why your game is better than Eric's game. Because I know it's not better than mine.
My game's better than Eric's game because there's actual gameplay value. It's not like, hey, I'm going to toss this log and, oh,
yeah,
game's over.
And get a gold medal.
I'm done.
Achieve worldwide sporting glory.
Worldwide sporting glory.
You heard me.
In World Games.
You said your game was a two-dimensional platform in which you collect coins. It sounds like a Mario clone.
Andrew, what do you collect in Mischief Makers?
I don't know. Broken Dreams?
You don't even know?
Yeah, you know.
Wow, we're just... You collect gems, Andrew.
Yeah, okay, so that's like even, not Mario.
Yeah, it's like every other platformer game we have to collect crap.
Hey, that's a thing. Greed is good.
Agreed. Collecting things, which totally diffuses Eric's comment about collecting coins.
At least I'm in the clear.
No, your game still sucks. You didn't even know there was gems in it.
And it causes cancer.
Yeah.
See, if you play my game, you actually get more fit and become an Olympic class athlete.
Whoa. Okay. Let's contest that. Let's break that down for a bit.
I need a... Yeah. No.
Okay. Hold on. Let me call my friend up. Hello, Dr. Science?
Hello?
Does playing on the NES make you any more fit?
Why, no. That's just absurd.
Okay, hold up. Did you pick a console game, Andrew?
That I did, but I did not attempt...
Jason, did you pick a console game?
I did.
Okay, so all three of us picked games that are played on an equivalent level of athleticism, arguably, right?
Yeah, but that's
whose game is most likely to inspire you to actually go out and play some real sports?
Keith Courage. You might have to fight demons. Better get in shape.
No, the correct answer is World Games.
Oh.
Okay, Eric, here's another question.
Bring it.
Why not the Olympics? Like, why World Games? I mean,
why not the same thing your mother?
They probably didn't want to pay the licensing fees because a cheap Milton Bradley game.
The Olympics is such a low bar. Why not just encompass the entire world?
Then why don't just do like the
Olympics?
Yeah, but the Olympics doesn't have the caber toss. World Games does. You're getting exclusive events here that aren't even in the Olympics.
I gotta be straight with you guys. Honestly, I didn't know that the World Games was a thing before I started Wikipediaing this stuff.
Well, tell you what. My closing argument for World Games is this. In cliff diving, you can dive off a 300-foot cliff and do a belly flop into the water. It is awesome.
My closing statement is Mischief Makers. Why not?
Good luck with that one, Andrew.
Oh, dear God. My closing statement, I guess, is Keith Courage. You fight demons on an awesome system with a guy named Keith.
All right, gentlemen. Well, good luck with those closing arguments. Listeners, you can pick for yourself at the website on the poll on the podcast page when the episode releases. And just some quick shout-outs. I want to give a special thank you to Ben Landis for his continued use in the intro and outro of his tracks. And you can check out his work, Adventures in Pixels. It's a wonderful music and comic combo. And once more, the musical interlude was Magic and Science by Neo Jake Productions. We'll have a download link on the site. And as always, check out onemorecastle.com, including the Facebook and Twitter pages. Guys, you have anything you want to plug tonight?
Yeah, I'd actually just like to say, if you guys have any suggestions, any requests for the site, let me know. You can do it by emailing admin@onemorecastle, or you can hit me up on Twitter, @arcadeerrorwin. I'd love to hear what you guys think of the site, see what you want to do with it. iTunes will hopefully be working soonish, hopefully for this episode release. It's in Apple's hands now, not mine. So, sorry.
Cool. Jason, how about you?
Pretty much, if you want to follow me at Twitter, the handle is @JasonLamb, and that's pretty much it.
All right, sounds good to me. And everyone out there, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.